still the best now for more than 12 years. Is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron for August 30th, 2012. It's the last RSC of August, so that means that it's the third party roundup this week. Some neat things coming out or that came out this month, or that we got pictures of finally. I was remarking in the beginning or before the show that we got official photos of some of the third party items. I thought that was a little bit ironic that now we're getting official photos on these unofficial products. Just a little ironic. So with me this week, I have XV and Rob Clay. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Not bad.
Nobody loves us anymore.
I don't know.
We've lost all of our cast.
We have lost all of our cast. Our cast are all dead.
Mm-hmm. They're dead to me.
Dead to me. Actually, well, you know, somebody who was it? I forgot who it was. Apologies to the listener on Twitter had mentioned that they'd liked our new format. So, our new format is basically we set and we instead of doing the whole show live, we do pre-recorded content, which is the way we started out back in '99, and we brought RFC back full time in 2009. It was live content and pre-recorded content. We sort of moved all live because it was easier, but we sort of pulled back and gone back to having some pre-recorded content, including like one of my favorites, which is Rewind. And Amy does a lot for us. Amy owns the Transformers podcast world. She's like the most prolific Transformers podcaster in existence. So like half of RSC is Amy now. So she does the comic news for us, as well as Rescue Bots. And Prime's coming. Is it tomorrow that Prime's back?
A week ago tomorrow.
Oh, I missed. Yeah. Okay, I missed last week's episode. It's kind of sad that I couldn't tell. No, but I didn't see anybody talking about it. It must not have been like. As you can tell, I haven't really gotten into Prime so much. I wanted to, but it just kind of left me cold.
Well, let's put it this way. Last week's episode was the best episode about Miko that could possibly happen.
That's why no one's mentioned it. So it had to feature Bulkhead at least, so that's a plus.
No, it didn't.
Really?
No.
No Bulkhead?
No, not really.
God. I can't wait for that show to end. And be replaced by something that I like. Should I just watch Rescue Bots instead?
Well, you know, the Hub is airing animated in HD. You can just rewatch all of that.
Yeah, actually, the Hub is airing a lot of old stuff that I think people appreciate. It's going to start, if it hasn't already, start airing Superman the Animated Series. I mean, that would definitely be worth watching. Batman the Animated Series is there. ALF.
On Thursdays.
Yeah, if you want to watch ALF.
And 60s Batman.
Yeah. But it's basically turning into what Nick at Night should be, but isn't.
Well, what Nick at Night used to be.
Now, if they get My Three Sons, I am all there, as long as it's not the stuff in color.
And the Donna Reed Show.
Donna Reed Show. I want to see Bub and not Charlie. If I see Charlie and my Three Sons, I'm going to scream. Okay. Actually, Mr. Ed. Do they have Mr. Ed?
What, Nick Knight?
No. The Hub.
Not yet.
The Hub needs Mr. Ed.
A horse is a horse, of course, until the Hub has Mr. Ed.
Yeah. God, my life. You know, Nickelodeon was brilliant in the way that they aired like content like from other countries and said it was new. And just basically re-aired old TV shows and basically marketed themselves as, like, the Nostalgia Network, like, after 8 p.m. they ruled the 80s. That was great. They've never quite managed to recapture that. Now, of course, they haven't needed to in some respects because of such shows like SpongeBob and things like that that have been like huge. But I really miss classic Nickelodeon. Mm. It was some good stuff. It was some good stuff. Let's go ahead and quit talking about Nickelodeon and jump to the Deformers.com news desk.
This is why Brian wants to do 78 other shows.
Yes. I want.
He's just got all these things turning around in his head, and there's nowhere to release them.
Well, I don't have to. Mike is doing most of them. No, seriously, that's what I told him. I'm like, he was doing a Knight Rider show, and I'm like, dude, you are living the dream. I am so jealous. I couldn't do a Knight Rider show, but I respect him for doing it.
Well, you know, at the same time, I don't think anybody should do a Knight Rider show.
Dude, I love Knight Rider. I've watched every
episode. I mean, you can do, like, a Knight Rider episode on a show, but...
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to check it out. I really am. It's... Mike and company do a lot of stuff. If you haven't already, go to, was it Geekcast Network? Geekcastradio.com. Mike Blanchard, Stephen C. Phillips, Pecan Court Michael, great guys. Do lots of interesting shows. Check it out. Yeah, let's go ahead and jump to the Deformers.com news desk, where Peter and JD talk about the latest news. Lots of stuff going on this week. This lasts for about 20 minutes, so we will be back right after this.
Hello, and this is the T-Formers.com news desk for the week of August 29th, 2012. This is where we run down the biggest news of the week. I'm Peter Van.
And I'm JD Church.
Let's go to the news. So, let's see. The Dengeki Hobby magazine has revealed more looks at the Takara Tomy-only Transformers Prime Gaia Unicron. And as you said, JD, it is a bag of knives.
It is. I was not incorrect. It's got lots of sharp, jagged edges. We will never see this in the U.S. And apparently even combines with the Voyager-sized Megatron and Optimus in some sort of weird cover-up combination sort of thing-ish.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what that's all about.
Yeah. A little strange.
Okay. Well, continue to enjoy. Let's see. So we have official images of Transformers Masterpiece, MP13 Soundwave with Laserbeak, and MP14 Red Alert. These guys will be out in December. So
they want to eat my wallet.
Crack it.
Ouch. The Soundwave especially. I mean, the colors and everything on that is just brilliant. It looks really, really good. For as good as I imagine the Soundwave could look, it actually kind of looks better. Man.
The Red Alert is what you kind of expected, right? I mean,
you know, Red Alert is, I mean, you know, there's Sideswipe Red Alert, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. And it's not the Soundwave isn't that, too, but I don't know. There's just something about him that just looks really good. The Red Alert, maybe it's the, I mean, they've definitely caught that sort of G1 boxiness of them, so I don't know. I don't know what I think of them. I think if you like those characters, it might be a thing. I think it is kind of cool that they do fit in the trailer, the new Masterpiece trailer. I think it looks to be the same size, scale, and everything, but I don't know. It's just something about that Soundwave that just, oh, hits me right in my pocketbook.
Okay. Well, cool. Congratulations. So, thanks. In other news, we have really good in-hand images of MP12 Sideswipe, which is coming out in October. You can... it's pretty good, right? It's a couple...
Yeah.
It's a new scale of Voyager stuff, so we should have some fun with that.
Yeah. Looks like, I mean, like I said, I mean, same for the Red Alert and everything. I mean, it looks pretty good. it's not. I would totally buy. I mean, you know, there again, I would totally get the Soundwave before I would get these guys. But they look good nonetheless. So I'm sure many will have it, or they'll be out in the U.S. too. I mean, it's like give it 6 months or a year, you know, and they'll be out here. So
okay. So Transformers subscription service, the from the fan club. Has shown off new images of the Scourge, and he's pretty cool because he's got the words on his sword says "Who has the power now?"
You know, I bet that that probably is from maybe the show. I don't know, but I don't know enough about Rid to say.
Transformers Club page did say all for one and one for all because they showed all three of the shattered glass, or not shattered glass, I guess, but shattered glass Ultra Magnus and shattered glass Optimus Prime, as well as the Scourge doing the Three Musketeers, you know, picture. So.
Oh yeah, with the three swords together. Yes, all three of their versions of that mold, which.
Sorry.
Yeah, a little bit.
Stuck in my throat. I don't know what happened.
A little bit, but, you know, I mean, I still give him props for doing the Scourge. I mean,
yeah,
that's going to be a nice piece out of the set, and it's definitely one that I'm keeping out of the set, so.
Sure. Okay. Well, in other TFSS news, new breakdown head. You can take a look at the new head mold.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be cool.
Well, it's the same. I think it's the same. It's the same head mold as the G2 breakdown from BotCon a couple of years ago. But they do have like the full pick with him side by side with G1 breakdown and the animated breakdown from the BotCon set from last year. I guess it was not this past year, but the year before. So kind of showing the color similarities and everything. So
yeah. So I mean, you know, you get. Get a cool head and things like that. If you didn't previously get that set, then join this club and you get to get a new the same head mold. So
yeah. If you had skipped out on that on the G2 set basically. So
if you held out, congratulations.
Yeah, I'm not sure on the color on the head though. I mean that's the if you look even if the at the G1 version, you can tell that the face is much more red. And for some reason they've gone for a more like a deep plum, and it's just not, I don't know, it's not quite the color palette I would pick for that, but right. You know, that's what they went with.
Okay. Cool. So how about Ultra Magnus coming out in Japan? So Takara Transformers Asia exclusive Henke Ultra Magnus will be out this fall, late September, early October, for a price of $67.90 US dollar. The entire, according to the images, nearly the entire body is white in color. Surprise, surprise. And you get, and are a little different, and are different than the Generation 1 version.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess this is. I mean, the potential for this is nice in two ways. One, you know, the only way that you could get the previous one was in a two pack with Skywarp. I'm sorry, yes, Skywarp. And I think that was a Target exclusive. I want to say, so there weren't. I mean, there's obviously a lot out there, but. The demand for this figure went really high when Fans Project came out with their City Commander set. So I think there were far more City Commander sets than there were of these Ultra Magnus to go around. So this is going to be, you know, and it's pricey, but it's going to be a way to get a hold of that mold. It makes me wonder if Fans Project will consider a reissue of their City Commander set based on this coming out, because I mean, this will be something that they can partner with it. You know, you buy this and that, and then you can have your Ultra Magnus, but and then hopefully maybe the price would be a little bit less. Oh, it's painful. It's still like 150 or something for that City Commander set. So, but I mean the colors on this look okay. They're typical for what you come to expect out of Henke, but
yeah,
maybe a lot more white than the other. I mean, there's a lot more blue on the original version, particularly in the legs. But this is really, really white. Basically, just white and gray. So
yeah. Okay, so back to the States. If any of you guys were looking for a Masterpiece Thundercracker in Toys R Us, they have been sighted in the United States. The first sighting is Cybertron member Formula 93 in Kansas. And you can check out some cool stuff. If you can't make it out, he has an arm tattoo on his bicep. That is a picture of G1 Reflector and the word Say Cheese. I don't get it.
It's a line from the show. It was in the episode. I think that, yeah, that's what it is. There's a line. There's one of the very early G1 episodes. I can't remember which one it is, but he uses reflector and takes a picture and says something like that. So okay. This has a lot of odd little details, including the names under the windows. It's got some decals on the wing. I think I was seeing that this version too, it actually has the it actually has like an extra bit on the back so that you get actually a heel, which is not something that came with the previous mold. So there's been a little bit of a, I think also the lasers are permanently mounted. You can't take those off. And this is also the single head mold. So there's, if you, on the Skywarp that came out, it came with the two heads just like the Starscream mold did. But this one just has the one head. So there's a couple of little changes, interesting things on this. Like I said, a little more work that went into this one. But you can see that there's a lot of the, decal, a lot of detail on this to make it really kind of interesting. Even this is, even you can see it says, Big Daddy on it as well. So
yeah,
that's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. And then there's another one, which is if you say it fast enough, it sounds like Dragon's Ass. So
nice.
It does say Dragon's nice. Sass. So
Dragon's Sass, yeah. So interesting if nonetheless. So
yeah.
The heel especially is a nice add-on touch for this mold, because it's definitely something that was lacking previously. So very cool stuff.
Okay, well, cool stuff. We get some new images of the Wave 2 capsule toys. So back to Japan. I'm sorry.
We're yes.
jumping all around the world. But Transformers Prime Wave 2 capsule toys, in-hand images of RC's blade, Megatron's cannon, Bulkhead's knuckle, and fun and two different color versions of Datto.
Yeah, which is like a sea turtle, I think, is what.
Yeah, he's a weird looking.
Supposed to be, but it looks like that. It seems like that might be combining with two of the ones that came with the previous set. So we may actually be seeing combining weapons come out of this. What you're seeing, you know, typically out of the set is like smaller. I mean, you can see, like, there's the smaller versions of the larger figures, and then there's usually a couple of newer ones. But you easily, this one, I don't want this set, too, because I got the previous set. That's what I say. I've got the previous, some of these ones, and I've got, like, the axe that is the Gecko. So I'm wondering if there's going to be able to, if there's going to be more like an official combination between some of these to make a larger weapon, which is going to make me want them because I love arms microns now. They are my obsession. So, but this set looks cool. I like the little turtles.
Yeah. And just in case you didn't know, they can all like pile onto Optimus Prime.
There's a nice picture of Optimus. Little,
like costume party.
Optimus holding Optimus. I actually have a Viacon holding Optimus guns here. So, but, but yeah. I mean, that's a neat aspect of these Arms Microns, no matter whether you're talking about you know, these like gumball machine versions or the ones that come with the figures, is they really have a lot of interconnectivity, a lot of combine and play outside of just being a single weapon on their own. So neat stuff.
Okay. Well, cool. So we have, after all this, you know, say and talk and yada yada, we finally get really clear images of Transformers Prime Arms Micron AM-17 Swerve as well. So this is the, of course, as we all know, Japan-only breakdown mold, Voyager mold, that will get repainted into Swerve. So he's going to be a nice little... red, you know, very cool looking guy. Very something that we, of course, will have to import.
Yeah, I mean, the colors on this are nice. The head is really cool. I especially like that you can see eyes below the visors. So, I mean, that's a really neat touch. And the Arms Micron looks pretty cool, too. Man, that mold, I tell you, the arms and stuff and the way it feels really thin. It's just, I don't think I could shell out more money for the same mold.
Yeah.
You know, just based on the quality of the mold and stuff itself. But I will say that if for some reason you skipped out on breakdown and you're really, really, you know, wondering about the breakdown mold and wanting to get something like this, it may not be bad, but... Yeah, I don't know. It looks cool, though. I mean, man, it does look cool. Oh, it looks like the... Okay, his Arms Micron is like a Sharktacon, is what the... Or, the head mold looks like the alligator versions of, like, what were the Sharktacons. That's what that looks like.
It yeah, there is an Arms Micron that is an alligator, too, so...
Yeah. But, yeah, all the Autobots are... they're my Arms Microns are robots, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, also, if you're interested, unfortunately, this is a pretty terrible mold that we've talked about before, but AM-18 Arachnid. Apparently, she's a pretty terrible toy. It's the same toy as the ones in the States. She is not worth your money.
No, unless her Arms Micron looks really cool, which I'm trying to get to the...
But is that worth it? I mean...
Arms Micron picture.
I don't know if that's
worth it, you know? I don't know. What is... Ooh, hers is like a little beetle thing. Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
I'm trying to get to a better picture of the Arms Micron.
Actually, itself. It's that. It's like a smaller version of that Insecticon. Like an
But it looks... Oh, dang.
So it looks cool. I think it looks cool.
Well, I tell you what, the thing about buying a figure like that for the Arms Micron is that a lot of times they're releasing these separately. For example, like I've got the Chainsaw one, and that I bought separately. So some of these are becoming available, you know, you can buy as just the model kit pack. So I think I might wait and see if that becomes available on its own, because I would like to have that. It does combine with two of the other Microns I have to make a larger weapon, but...
Yeah. It just sucks it's just such a terrible toy.
I know. Otherwise, I would just get this version mainly for the Micron, but I cannot justify... not justify paying that price and importing everything for that figure. Ugh.
Yeah. All right, well, some more image galleries we got. Cup. So what is obviously a they just somehow Hasbro decided to release a repaint of the Deluxe Ironhide in of Cup first before they released Ironhide, which is even the solicitations got a little confused because for a while they had solicitations for Ironhide, but in actuality it was Cup. So
doesn't that mean that that Ironhide will be the repaint of Cup?
Yeah, except for when you put these, the cup, you know, the deluxe cup and the Cyberverse Ironhide, it looks, if you didn't see the scale of the pictures, it looks essentially the same.
They've done a really good job, though, with the Cyberverse with that, I mean, in that context, but it just kind of seems funny that the, you know, yeah, I mean, like we said, the deluxe version what is obviously supposed to be Ironhide is coming out as Cup first. So it's going to mean that Ironhide is going to be a repaint of his own mold because he wasn't out first. I don't know. It's very strange.
Well, it's similar to Dreadwing, right? Dreadwing and Skyquake.
Right. Okay. Yep.
So
yep.
It seems like Hasbro's just trying to mix it up a little bit. You know,
I guess so.
About it. But okay, and then we also got Deluxe Rumble.
Yay.
Which we saw first at BotCon and shown off a little more at Comic-Con. Pretty cool, right? I mean, he's a brand new mold, so
yeah,
he looks pretty cool.
There's another car Decepticon, so that's cool.
And he can do the ground pound thing, so that's
okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so finally we get, not finally, not yet. If you're looking for Transformers Prime Season 2, rejoice, because...
Oh, yes.
The Season 2 Blu-ray is coming out very soon, which is so soon, it's November 20th. So a four-set DVD is on November 20th, and a four-set Blu-ray is out the week after on November 27th, right after you push over your little children for Black Friday shopping.
That's right. Kick them out of the way.
Right. Yes. So the it will contain all 26 episodes, which haven't even finished yet. A little crazy. It's not done yet.
That is odd, isn't
it? Yeah, I mean, it's not. I mean, it's at episode 17 this week, this Friday. So, but it will give you some mind-blowing 26 episodes, and you'll get special features such as the Larry King and Peter Cullen conversation from San Diego Comic-Con, and brand new interviews with the series creative team. So, pretty cool. Pick that up. It will be $59.99 for the Blu-ray and $29.93 for the DVD.
That seems strange.
$29.93 seems rather actually
no, I'm just, price. I guess they're gonna have all those episodes out by the 27th of November, but still it's kinda like, wow, it's
yeah, I think they're gonna I mean, there's only 8 episodes left. They'll blow through that in 8 weeks.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
So essentially as soon as season 2 ends on TV, you can get it on TV.
There you go.
Yeah. So that'd be
wonders of our modern world.
Yeah, DVDs. Huh. But yeah, be happy about that, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, finally, we got... Takara Tomy decided to put a story together for Power Core Combiners, which they call United EX.
Okay.
They actually have a backstory, and so thanks to Andrew Hydra Hall of the AllSpark, he provided a translation of United X, a.k.a. Power Core Combiners, and here's how it goes. The Autobots have been working together with Earth scientist Professor Chase to develop a new combination system, and with that, Autobots would use the Power Core combination to combine themselves with four drones. The Autobot warriors chosen for the process became part of the group known as the Master Class. At the same time, a covert counter team of Decepticons with the same capability, Master Chaos, was formed. Oddly enough, there is no explanation for how the Decepticons got this technology.
They stole. I mean, they always have some kind of covert agent. I mean, the funny thing is this is almost exactly like the Binal Tech backstory, in the sense that in the Binal Tech story, they were, you know, sort of G1 Transformers that were being upgraded to the Binal Tech technology by, I believe, Chip Chase I think it was Chase at the same time that was doing it in that story. And then they had some sort of mole or something that took that, and the Decepticons, or somehow the Decepticons infiltrated that and did the same thing. So it's very similar to the Binal Tech backstory as well.
So you're saying Professor Chase gets around?
He does. Well, I mean, there's only so many Autobot human aligned Autobot scientists that you can pull in. You got Chip and you got Chip. That's basically it.
Cool. Well, that's good, because I'm glad you put in that final note, because that is it for this week of the T-Formers.com News Desk. I'm Peter Van.
And I'm JD Church.
And we will see you next time.
Yay, football.
Just before the show, XV found news that on robotkingdom.com, is it co.uk or is it .com?
.com, being that it's in China.
Oh. I always get that confused with Full Metal Hero for some reason. So, news surfaced on the distribution for, what, Waves 2 and 3, the Voyager assortments?
Well, technically it'd be Voyager assortments 1 and 2.
Well, it's, yeah. So, yeah. Since the first couple of waves of toys don't include Voyagers.
Mm-hmm.
So, the first, it's going to be half a case is Sound Blaster, half a case is Sound Wave. So, you get it blue or black.
Or both.
Or both.
I guess that's the only mark.
Enough, it'll be both at once.
I guess they are not ready to ship Blaster.
Apparently not, because Voyager Assortment 2 also doesn't have Blaster.
So what are the chances that we're going to get a surprise repaint of Blaster as, say, like, Twin Cast?
Zero?
Yeah. That would be awful. I would love it. I have never been more disappointed by a toy than I was by Twin Cast. I wanted that toy forever. Forever!
It wouldn't be an unattractive color scheme on that toy.
No, it would be nice. So they could, sort of.
It'll be a great Botcon toy when it happens, and you know it will.
And they'll just call it Cryotech.
Or they'll call it Broadcast or something generic like that.
But yeah, so that's the...
New Blaster.
Yeah. New Blaster. Yeah. Actually, that would be a great subscription service toy, maybe. We'll get to that.
Yeah, I mean, the club has all kinds of outlets for that.
Which is awesome. Actually, I want to talk about that in a second. And the second, of course, is going to be...
Is three unlocks and a sound wave.
Yes, so...
So, at least at the moment, it looks like if you want to get a sound blast, you need to make sure to go ahead and do it in the first batch.
So, and I figure Sound Blaster is going to be the one that just isn't appealing to kids because they don't know the name.
No, I would assume so.
But I think additionally, kids will like it in black. It's a nice-looking toy.
And well, kids may like it in black, but it's more what the parents are going to think about. Okay, there's a blue one over here, a black one right next to it. Why? What?
Well, yeah, the only thing I can think of is that the Grimlock mold just was not ready in time for the first wave, because this makes no sense.
It makes very little sense. So we're getting Blaster, Sound Blaster, Sound Wave, and Grimlock. Are there any other? I can't think off the top of my head any other.
They
Voyagers?
Haven't revealed any other Voyagers so far.
I can't wait for the news on that. I would like to see something.
But you know, I mean, that carries us through into the summer, basically. So
yeah.
It'll probably be Toy Fair before we find out any more molds.
Yeah, and Toy Fair is a distant 5 months away.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, so, I really want a Grimlock. It's not like my ideal perfect Grimlock, but I will be very
satisfied. It'll work.
It'll work.
Yeah.
I think if they threw some electronics or some crazy electronics onto Masterpiece Grimlock, that would be up there, like, as far as like the perfect Grimlock. Cause, I mean, I'm still very satisfied with Masterpiece Grimlock.
I should have bought one. Those.
Yeah,
you should have.
They're expensive now.
It's great. It's great. It really is. Definitely worth a purchase if you get it like at retail.
Somebody out there, send me a Masterpiece Grimlock.
Yes, we are going to shill. Get XV a Masterpiece Grimlock.
Hell yes, I'm going to shill.
Send him too. He has my shipping address.
But
there you go. Good thinking.
But yes, so it's a great toy. So actually, speaking of outlets that the TFCC has, week before last we talked about the subscription service. But after the show, it actually, details actually, you know, surfaced. The subscription service is live. You have until September 10th to get it in. I got mine in. I'm paying by installments. Kim okayed it.
Which means she's paying an extra $6.
Yeah. Kim okayed it. She's awesome. and I'm very excited. I mean, the only two that I'm sort of iffy on Scourge and Circuit, but the rest, I'm very excited by. Slipstream looks great. Totally surprised by that one. That I was surprised when at BotCon when we saw that. But Breakdown, a little iffy on that, but you know, Ultra Mammoth. JD has already sold his Ultra Mammoth. He has pre-sold that.
Yeah, he said he was going to try to sell it to you.
He didn't, though. He sold it to Jeremy Disbro.
And I may be buying the Slipstream out of his set, too.
It's very nice looking, and it's based on the first edition Starscream, which is a great, great, great toy.
Yeah.
I don't know why he would get rid of that one.
Because he just doesn't care.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's such a feminist. He's selling the female from the line. Would, yeah, he's just, he's all talk. He's all talk. I'm questioning your feminist loyalties, JD. You need to not sell that to XV.
Okay, save me $50.
So do we know the, we don't know the pricing on what the Collectors Club is going to charge on the individuals they get. They'll have a handful, not many, for sale.
I'm sure it's going to be probably double the individual cost if you broke a set down.
Yeah. I was hoping for that was going to be my saving grace to get a big boa from the G.I. Joe service. I so wanted the G.I. Joe service, but man, I can't swing that. I can't swing over $300 for 13 Joe figures.
That does seem a little steep, doesn't it?
Yeah, for two figures, three that I really want, and the rest are kind of a little too nerdy for even me. So, but yeah, very excited. The Collectors Club tweeted that they want us to not share on the internet the toy that we get.
I don't know if they tweeted that, but they put it in their in the basic information right before they opened the pre-orders.
Yeah, so we may have some sort of embargo in place, self-imposed embargo on telling you what we got and sharing that or not.
Yes, I'm sure everybody's going to follow right along with that one.
Everyone will right along with that one. But yeah, I can't wait to get my first one. Very exciting.
Probably around January.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So far away. Let's go ahead and jump to comic news. We're going to go to comic news and then to the Rescue Bots with Amy and Nicole. I think this week Amy talks about the Fall of Cybertron comic. Don't hold me to that. I never got around to reading More Than Meets the Eye number 8, so I was kind of apprehensive to actually preview the video because I don't want to be spoiled. I just haven't had any time. It's been crazy. So if I'm wrong, it will not be the first time this show. So let's go ahead and jump to Rescue Bots, or to comic news, and then Rescue Bots with Amy and Nicole. We will be right back.
It's now time for comic news with Amy Morgan.
Hello, this is Amy, and I'm back once again with Transformers Comics news and reviews in 5 minutes. There is no comic this week. Actually, I take that back. There is a comic this week. There is the digital Fall of Cybertron tie-in, issue number 2. It's out this Wednesday on Comixology, so if you have access to a computer and you decide that you want to buy this digital version, it's only $1, and it's cross-platform. You can use it on your digital device, your computer, and even your bigger digital devices. So that way you have it on the go. It's easy to carry. You know, there's lots of reasons. Yeah. Issue number 1 came out 2 weeks ago. I haven't reviewed it yet because I'm still trying to decide what I think about it. It's short, and I wanted to give it another issue, so... That's my story, and I'm sticking to it, and I'm the reviewer, so I can choose what I want to do. Anyhow, Transformers Facebook page has the commentary out for More Than Meets the Eye issue 8. Now, the Facebook page is very active. I've been very impressed with how active it is. They pretty much post tons of stuff, and it isn't all comics. So if you're interested, you can follow it on, or you know, like it, follow it, whatever, on Facebook. Check it out, because there's a lot of stuff going on there, and it's always got stuff going on. So it's good times. Chris Mowry, letterer for Transformers, at least has been in the past on many comics, is having a birthday this week. So wish him happy birthday. Amazon has revealed that we will be getting some trade paperbacks by the end of this year. And because there are trade paperbacks and a lot of people wait for the trade paperbacks, I'm going to tell everybody about it. Now, that doesn't mean that these won't move, but for right now, this is what they are scheduled to be released as. Both two of them in December. We're getting Robots in Disguise Volume 2. Which is one of the ongoings right now. And we're going to get a G.I. Joe Transformers Volume 2 crossover as well. Now, I don't believe that this is a new one. I think this is just it's a reprint of the volumes that they've had before. I haven't ever actually read them. I probably should just because it's Transformers and G.I. Joe and it's crossed over. So why not, right? I don't have an opinion either way. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who go, no, don't get it. And then there'd be other people who go, yeah, totally get it. So it's, you know, if it's a reprint and you haven't seen it before and you're interested, there you go. But definitely I will be picking up Robots in Disguise. And then, of course, we're also going to be getting in February, Regeneration 1, Volume 1. It'll be really awesome. So any of those guys out there that are not getting it yet, you're waiting for the trade. It won't be out till February. So definitely have been enjoying Regeneration 1 so far. Also, just wanted to plug in real quick, this week on The Underbase, the other podcast that I host, we have an interview with James Roberts. So if you're interested in hearing what he has to say about his first year of writing More Than Meets the Eye, and then all of the other stuff that he's writing currently and into the future, because we did touch on quite a few things that are going to be coming up in the future. Definitely check that out. I had the interview with him at Auto Assembly, so definitely check it out. It's pretty fun. It's got some really good goodies in it if you're interested in More Than Meets the Eye. And with that, that's all. That's all I've got. It's that short this week. So comics will be reviewed next week. We were supposed to get the More Than Meets the Eye annual this week, but it was pushed back. So as soon as it comes out, I'll let you know what I think about it. And that's it. See you next week. You want to say bye?
Bye.
Yeah, there you go. Routine patrols, fog bags, and stasis. He's later awoke in the strangest of places. Earth was their home, now and in addition, Optimus Prime. Hello, and we are back again. I am Amy.
Hi, Amy. I'm Nicole.
Hi, Nicole. And we are here to do a quick review for Radio Free Cybertron for Rescue Bots. And this episode that we are going over is going to be episode number 2, which was Under Pressure. Now, we are going back and reviewing ones, like the seasons have obviously ended because it ended the end of last week? Was it last week?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last week. So we are kind of doing a mini retro because we're just going to go back and hit all the episodes that we didn't ever get a chance to talk about and do a little mini review for. So this one premiered in February of this year, 2012. So basically the rundown is that this is the second episode. So we're getting the partner, the teams are getting to know each other still, and they're still having their rough mm-hmm. edges and, you know, little stepping on toes and whatnot.
Yeah, they have their little bicker. They bicker a lot, you know.
Yeah, they do. And they, so, you know, the bots are like, oh, they don't respect us. They don't treat us as real mm-hmm. creatures. And, you know, the team is kind of like, well, they're just robots, and, you know, mm-hmm. it's kind of frustrating that I have to ask permission to have stuff rolled down and this and that. Yeah. It's like, you know, guys, get over yourself, really. The only ones that seem to be really together
like from the get-go is Chief and Chase because he's older and wiser and, you know, much more mature.
he's dealt with crap. He just was like, I'll just take it. I'll learn it.
Yeah. It was like, this is what it means to be a team, is that we get to know each other and whatnot. Yep. So, but yeah, it's called Under Pressure, and there's a reason why it's called Under Pressure. What ends up happening is that the rescue of the episode, basically, is that the sewer is overflowing with lava, and they have to put out the problems in town that are resulted of lava coming out of the sewers. And they also, on top of that, because, you know, you got lava coming out of the sewers, either you're going to evacuate, you're going to find a way to turn the lava off. So they find that there's a man-made volcano that has been created because they call Doc Green, who tells them. And they have to find a way
because that's what everyone needs, is a man-made volcano.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm bored. I'm going to build a volcano.
Exactly. So they have to relieve the pressure, and then the lava will stop coming out of the sewers. So when they do that, though, there's a little backfire. Is the resulting release of the pressure, it ends up, the lava ends up flowing in a different direction and into the tunnels that lead through the firehouse back to where Cody is. So everybody is away trying to solve the lava issues, and he's the communications back at HQ, and now he's in danger. So they're rushing back to get him there, get to him in time, or stop the lava. And they end up having to stop the lava with a lot of water, which they almost run out of, but ultimately, in the end,
it was saved by inches and inches.
Yes, yes. So Heatwave and Cade get stuck in the tunnels with a limited amount of water, and Danny and Blade save the day by tossing a lot of water that ends up cooling it all off and saving everybody's life. So, yeah, it was good.
Oh, yeah, it was really fun. I personally like the interaction between Heatwave and Cade.
It sold it. This episode, you know, was great.
Yeah, especially when he transforms with Kate in inside.
Yeah,
I love that
was
part.
That was great. Or the other, just to switch, you know, Kate isn't the only one that has a hard time with his partner Danny being like, "You will fly and you will like it," kind of attitude that she has. It's like, oh, you know, are you scared? It's like, well, you got to get over it. I was like, geez, man. So the Danny ends up just, you know, kind of being a little bit of a jerk.
Yeah.
As much as Cade is a jerk at this, so. But they come around.
They're learning. So.
And Cody is, you know, trying to keep the team, the counterparts, like, communicating. So it's like, it's a really big job for, like, a 12-year-old kid. So, you know. In the end, it ends up being good. So, I also, coming back and watching stuff since we've already seen the whole season, this was the episode where we actually saw Haley for the first time.
I know, but... And, it's just
and
like,
she's still a bad driver. So I thought, well, that's consistent. I like that. So people that we didn't have names for pop up in this, and then we get names later on in the season for them, and they end up being sub-characters that don't necessarily have to talk, like Prescott Huxley does talk in this one, but we find out more about him later, so it was good. We definitely recommend this episode.
Of course, you know. I mean, if you've ever had to start work with a new coworker, this is perfect right here.
Yep. So. Yep. Awesome. Yes, so that is Under Pressure, episode number 2, if you get a chance to check these out. We have done a full review on the Underbase. You can check out. I will probably put a nice little thing across the thing right here saying where you can find that at. It's the Underbase at libsyn.com. It's called The Rescue Center, where we review rescue bots.
There you go.
Yep. And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, that'll be it.
See you next time.
Oh, I guess we should actually do like an outro. Sorry, I'm totally like train wrecking this episode really bad.
Okay.
Alrighty. Yep, it's recording. Everything you say can and will be used against you in the court of Radio Free Cybertron.
Hello?
Oh, are you there?
There?
Yeah, I can see you.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
I know Kool, and Kool's teaming up with a good balanced breakfast.
Teaming up with Mr. T cereal, that's getting on the team that knows how cool breakfast can be. You get a crispy corn taste with a touch of brown sugar.
Teaming up with Mr. T.
It's cool.
Teaming up with Mr. T, golden sweet crispy teas. One bite and you're gonna be eating with the team that's teaming up with Mr. T.
It's cool.
Teaming up with Mr. T.
My buddy,
my buddy,
my buddy,
my buddy,
wherever I go, he goes. My buddy,
my buddy,
my buddy,
my buddy,
I'll teach him everything that I know. My buddy and me like to climb up a tree. My buddy and me, where the best friends could be. My buddy,
my buddy,
my buddy,
my buddy, my buddy and me.
My buddy from Play School.
In the world of the Transformers, nothing is what it seems. Meet the Constructicons, six evil robots that transform into one mechanical giant.
The Transformers, more than meets the eye. The Transformers.
It's Devastator, six Constructicons in one.
The Transformers.
Devastator's attacking.
More than meets the eye.
Constructicons gift set sold separately from Hasbro.
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
We are back. Thanks, guys. Let's go ahead and jump to Transformers Rewind. This week it's Better Mousetrap. I have a new appreciation for this episode. It wasn't one of my favorite Beast Wars episodes prior to watching, but now I understand it a little better. It just sort of blended in with the rest of like the season one stuff originally, but you know. I like it.
You're a terrible person.
I know. You know, it's all that characterization. And that's what really wins us over in this episode. Do we know what's going to be next week, XV?
Well, let me consult with the schedule.
I know that we have a couple of things coming up.
Firefox will change tab. Next week we have Triple Takeover.
Sweet.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
Which I say about most of the E1 episodes I pick.
Yeah. They're either classic.
It's a classic in the sense that there's always something new to make fun of in that episode.
Yeah, like G1's either classic or classic. And so I think we are.
Well, I think we are doing Carnage and C. Meyer in the next batch, too. So we got you covered both ways.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Okay. So we will be back right after this.
Radio Free Cybertron.
Transformers.
Rewind.
This week on Transformers Rewind, Brian Kilby is wrong about a better mousetrap.
Target locked. Preparing to terminate.
Come on!
Black Arachnia, Pterosaur, and Waspinator are digging a hole in order to plant a device so they have something to do this week. Meanwhile, inside the Axelon, Rhinox is demonstrating the Sentinel defense system he's been working on. Optimus is impressed, but has to leave suddenly when the sensors detect a Predacon nearby.
Tangler guns target intruders with plastine coils. That gives the stun guns and cyclotron fields time to set up for the knockout punch.
Beast or butt, old Sentinel here takes him down.
You said make the base impregnable.
Well done.
Dinobot doesn't think the defense system will work in practice, so Rattrap uses one of the Tangler guns on him for proof of concept. It's all fun and games until Dinobot breaks free and stabs the control panel.
Tanglers, stun guns. What sort of defense grid is this?
What's gumming your gears?
Those toys won't stop Predacons in battle mode. Lethal threats demand lethal response.
Oh, yeah? We'll respond to this chopper face.
Sentinel is now active, and because no identification protocol is installed, it thinks the Maximals are hostile invaders. Rhinox orders an evacuation, but Rattrap ducks into a vent and is determined to shut this down himself, since it's kind of his fault.
Tangler's worth pretty good on old Dino Butt. Maybe Predzon is lethal, as they think.
Warning, intruder alert. Sentinel online, acquiring targets.
Show's over, Rhinox. Shut it down.
How? The console's junk, thanks to you and Dinobot.
Optimus meets with Tigatron, who's watching Waspinator spaz around in the air. Optimus decides to go after Waspinator to see where he'll run, while Tigatron follows on the ground. But they both lose Waspinator as he flies at part of the cliff face.
Did you see him?
No. But I can still smell him. He's here somewhere.
Maximal alert. Intruders have infiltrated base. Sentinel now at level 1.
Sentinel?
Who is Sentinel?
Our new defense grid, but it shouldn't be online yet.
It might be wise for you to return. I'll hunt down Waspinator.
Yes, something's going on in this sector, and I want to know what it is. I'll send backup as soon as I can.
I need no help hunting Predacons. And I prefer to prowl alone.
The confusion is interrupted by an automated message from Sentinel, and Optimus decides to go back to see what's up while Tigatron hunts down Waspinator. Rattrap is stuck inside the base, but is having little difficulty defeating every measure Sentinel takes against him, even as the program advances itself to handle the increasing threat.
Zero friction fluid. Come on, Rhinox. That stuff is strictly for amateurs. This ain't a security grid. It's a gym, just for spy guys like me.
Tigatron discovers a cave concealed by a hologram and finds a Predacon deep inside. Back at the Axelon, the Maximals are trying to blast through Sentinel's shield, but it's not working very well.
The trail leads here. But something's not right. A hollow projector. Clever.
Says we must deal with Optimus first.
Tigatron, maximize stealth mode.
And even if he does, he'll be too late. The emitter is ready. In 15 cycles, we'll be inside the Maximal base.
The only place you three are going is the slag heap.
He's stolen my invention!
Tigatron attacks the Predacons and grabs the sonic emitter. Black Arachne warns him it's about to explode, so Tigatron decides to return it. The Predacons retreat, and a big hole opens up near the Axelon, and Tigatron climbs out.
Where did he go?
Right here, Predacon.
You can't win, Cat! The emitter will explode and take you with it!
In that case, allow me to return it!
No!
Let's get out of here!
Inside, Rat Trap has made it to the computer core, but gets pinned down just out of reach of the shutoff switch as Sentinel prepares to terminate him. The shield suddenly shuts down, and the Maximals realize Rat Trap has been destroyed. They say a few final words about their fallen comrade.
Rat Trap gone? No way. No, I don't believe it.
He was a difficult Maximal to deal with. At times impossible. But I'll remember him with honor.
I won't disgrace his memory with lies. He was a stinking, omnivorous pestilence. Still, in some perverse way, I will miss him.
And we fade to black.
Sure, he smelled bad. He was a rat. But he was my best friend.
Or not.
Oh, Boo! Boo-hoo! Oh, don't stop now!
You motorheads are killing me.
Rat Trap?
How did you...
avoid getting scrapped? Well, it was no oil bath, but let's face it. Ain't a defense system made that I can't get around. Right, Sentinel?
Acknowledged.
You just gotta know how to...
So, Brian, why don't you tell us why you're wrong about this episode?
I don't hate this episode. And the stuff toward the end, I do kind of dig. I love Rat Trap. But, you know, it's season one episode. So, I never really paid that much attention.
It's a middle season one episode, so it's good.
I'm not using season one as a euphemism to say it's bad. I'm just saying it's like one of those episodes that I watched once and never watched again until this last week.
You suck.
I know.
I don't know how many times I'm going to say that, but
it's true.
Yeah.
Well, each time we talk about a Beast Wars season one episode, I think you're going to have to say it again.
I just won't be
Apparently
here.
Apparently so.
You'll have to get JD back on for that one.
Well, he would probably at least appreciate them. I'm starting to think JD has a lot better taste than you, Brian. But yeah, I like this. It's not just a focus on Rat Trap, but it's a focus on all of Rat Trap's various skills from the past he's been, you know, vaguely suggested at having before the series started.
Yeah.
You know, he was a soldier, a spy, a demolitionist.
And a
sharpshooter. Well, I mean, that can go along with the soldier part, too. But, I mean, we finally get to see a lot of this put into practice all at once as he's, like, completely circumventing the supposedly impenetrable security system Rhinox developed. Although, apparently, that doesn't even work that well either.
Yeah. I love the interaction between Dinobot and Rat Trap. I think that's always great.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always just well done.
Problem?
Oh, that's one of the dangers a series like this has, of course, is the comic relief character turning out to be totally and completely useless. And, you know, this is a good episode for that not to happen, and unless you're counting Waspinator, of course. But
he serves another purpose.
Yeah. But, you know, Rat Trap has, up to this point, been pretty much the maximal pain in the ass. And like you said, this is where you actually get a chance to see why he's here. Which is, yeah. You know,
it's
one of those little things about Beast Wars where actual writers are involved, and you get actual, you know, personalities and skill sets and purposes for all the characters in the show.
Yes,
Like Pterosaur's purpose is Starscream.
Yes,
right. Yeah.
Just as a general example, it doesn't really have much to do with this episode since he's not in it.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, though, where it does take a little bit of time for it to get up to speed.
But see, I mean, that's kind of the problem with the Predacon plot in this episode. It's obviously just there so that, okay, the Predacons are involved. And they're done now.
One thing I like about Beast Wars, Rob mentioned, like, Pterosaur, all the characters... You know, if they decide that they don't want to, you know, focus on this character anymore, instead of them going, you know, off camera and never coming back, they just get killed. And they weren't afraid of doing that. And, I mean, that's fantastic. And, I love that Beast Wars is able to take, you know, a risk. Now, I did not expect Rat Trap to die, but if this had been like a season 2 episode or a season 3 episode, bets are off.
Yeah, I mean you could totally see that really happening.
Yeah, all bets would be off at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you know it's a fake out because they iris out at the end, which they never do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, it was just cool to see, you know, Rat Trap, you know, like Rob was saying, he was the annoying guy, but it was cool to see him just sort of be annoying, but at the same time, just being a total badass and being able to, you never saw what he did before, and you're just like, wow, this guy is really awesome.
Yeah, there's only been hints at what Rat Trap actually did before the show started, and it's been stuff along this line, but it's like, okay, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now let's talk a little bit about the security measures in Sentinel that we never see again, of course. Like the energy field that freezes everything it touches. You gotta think that would be handy at some point later
on. Why wouldn't they take that out of Sentinel and put that in a gun?
Or like a refrigerator.
Yes, that too.
But I think one of the things that always ran, always with Sentinel was that that ship was a terrible shot.
Well, okay, and that really opens up the point of this, too, which is that after this point, Sentinel is basically only used to aim the guns outside the ship. Anytime somebody gets inside, they make up an excuse for why they can't use Sentinel to deal with it.
Yeah.
Either there's nobody active on the bridge to activate it, or they don't have power to do it. You know, there's always some excuse why the internal defenses are always shut off, even though there's a lot of times, like in Possession, which is another one I want to do pretty soon, you know, they really should have those defenses running. And, of course, in the Low Road, which we talked about before, it also shows that some of the Sentinel stuff can't be activated while there's friendlies around either. It's just, they go to a lot to set up what Sentinel is in this episode, and then basically it all goes away after this. It's a shield, and it's guns on the outside. That's about it.
Yeah.
Essentially,
It's kind of a
Another thing I did like about this episode is that at the end, when they're all standing around talking about the presumably dead Rat Trap, you know, Dinobot's attitude towards death is consistent. It's like, you know, tell the truth, even if it hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. His consistency was, meh.
Well, yeah, I mean, for Dinobot, it's more like, okay, being honest about what this person was and did in his life is more respectful to the person than trying to think of nice things to say to the exception of all else.
Yes.
Which, I mean, it is showing in its own way that Dinobot has respect for Rat Trap, even if he can't really stand it.
Yeah.
And like Rob was saying before, it's one of those it's one of those things of good writing that you can get that subtext in there like that, where it comes across subtly and naturally.
But not by Dinobot not cheapening Rat Trap's memory, the writers get by, like, enhancing his character or not cheapening his character, which they could easily have, you know, that something like that could, like, totally have thrown a wrench in what they were building with Dinobot.
Or just omitting the part where he says, I won't dishonor his memory with false sentiment or whatever. You know, if they had left that line of dialogue out and Dinobot had just said he was, you know, he smelled bad and I hated him, you know, that would have gone in a completely different direction, too. It's that combination of those elements that really makes that, and that's the good writing.
Yeah. I like that episode a lot better now. It's it really is classic Beast Wars. I was definitely sort of I hate to say bandwagon, but I really didn't get into Beast Wars until toward the end of season 2. And I had to go back and,
you know, Rob can tell you a story about this too.
I can. Well, I didn't.
About
of course, I get.
Against
Beast. Yeah, I didn't get into Beast Wars until about 2008, 2009. So,
but were you like anti Beast Wars until that point?
Up to a point, but I generally softened on it. You know, until and up to the point where XV handed me the first season and said, "Watch this." At which point, you know, obviously I liked it a lot. So.
Yeah, I was one of those people that just didn't put a lot of thought into it. It wasn't G1. It wasn't what I was used to.
Exactly.
And I didn't like it. But then I actually watched it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, wait, this is much better.
Yeah.
Let's just watch this instead. Let's forget this other stuff happened.
Diecast just posted in the chat the card art for Ultra Mammoth.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Let's check that out. Okay. Oh, wow. Ah, want that. Thank you, Diecast. Let's put that up here.
Looks like it's a Dan Kana.
Yeah.
You know, his art has improved so much over the years.
Yeah, Dan's stuff
it's
is
really
pretty
amazing.
Good. Yeah, Dan's stuff is good. Of course, when Dan started out, you know, Dan was... you know, young. So when we were exposed to his stuff early on, he was, you know, basically our age trying to become famous in the Transformers fandom as an artist. And, you know, he hasn't necessarily gotten the respect that he's due as an artist. Maybe because of that a little bit. It's because we're too familiar with him, maybe.
I think a lot of people who've been around the fandom can remember his early stuff and don't really, like, look and see how his art has evolved over the years into the really nice stuff he does now.
And he does great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he absolutely does. Can't wait to get Ultra Mammoth. I hope, dear God, it comes packaged in robot mode.
So that you never have to transform it.
I don't want to have to transform it again, especially considering the plastic quality. I mean, we all know that the plastic quality is a little different. Depending on how it's sourced and such. I'm not transforming.
Although transforming it to robot mode is not nearly as bad as transforming it into beast mode. So even if it does come packaged in beast mode,
because the robot mode is fairly recognizable, you can sort of figure it out without needing instructions. Beast mode, you can do it without needing instructions, but it's much harder.
Yeah.
Much harder.
I mean, if you want to get into robot mode, you just pry off all the panels, set them aside, unfold it, and put them back on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how my aunt growing up ruined my Rubik's Cube.
Stealing the stickers off?
No, she took it apart. I don't know how, but she took it apart with the intention of putting it back together, but she never did. I hate her.
You know, all these years, I've never been able to figure out how they build a Rubik's Cube where it can move the way that it does.
Yeah, you don't want to know.
Probably not. It would ruin the mystique.
I can't close my eyes without seeing it. I hate it. Okay. Hey, so it's third-party roundup time.
Well, you know, it's a nice change, though, Ryan. Somebody else breaking your toys instead of you breaking your toys.
This is true. This is true. So the first item I'm going to look at here on the third-party roundup is the Hearts of Steel Starscream homage. Lots of people like just went gaga over this, like on Facebook when it was posted. It is very nice looking. It does look pretty cool, but it just doesn't really necessarily sing to me. What do you guys think about it?
I'd say that hits it on the head. It's not anything that really appeals to me that much, but it looks like it's pretty well done. Not much else I have to say about it.
I'm very worried that it looks very fragile.
Possibly. Although, okay, the Nightmare for Commander, the first run of that, had like major design and material problems, which they ended up correcting for Nightmare for Annihilator. So I think they've got more of a handle on what they need to do in terms of plastic and how the toys are designed in order to keep them from self-destructing.
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, the stuff that I've gotten from iGear is solid. Obviously
okay,
not iGear.
Think about Cyclops, too. That thing is gigantic. And the worst problem anybody's having with it is just a few of the tabs tending to snap off if you don't play with it the right way. You know, it's not anything that's like crippling the toy when it happens. So if they can do something the size of, you know, like a solid leader class toy, and it's not falling apart under its own weight, this will probably be okay.
Yeah. Let's see here. The designs are nice. I don't have any affection necessarily for the Source, so I probably will never pick one of these up unless it's like, just like XV said, he got his to represent the Fallen, which makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. Since basically it's on fire.
It's a kettle stove on wheels.
Yes. So I mean, but at the price, I'm probably not going to justify it, considering that it doesn't, like I said, I don't have a lot of affection for the Source, but you know, I can't deny that looks good, and Cyclops looks good as well. Not quite as good, but you know, looks decent.
Cyclops looked really appealing until I was able to see just how big it was.
Oh yeah,
and then I mean, it's just pushing it too far.
Yeah,
if they had done that as like a Voyager size toy, I think it would have really turned out nice, and I probably would have wanted to get one.
Yeah, so it would be like borderline, what, leader class?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. And it's what, 100 bucks? 120 bucks?
Almost 160, actually.
Oh, yeah. Forget that. Forget that.
The original pre-orders were for around 140, but as they were producing the toy, the costs went up a little bit, and they also, like, they put in this surprise little mini Shockwave figure. So, all the first round of pre-orders still went for the 140-ish that they started at, but everything after that up to around 160.
Okay. That's reasonable. That's nice. I like that. That's a fair way of going about it.
Mm-hmm.
One that I don't want to belabor over, because we've talked about it quite a bit, but the PP05... medical specialist and weapons specialist actually shipped this month.
I saw a picture of a not ratchet somebody got, and it came with no tires.
Oops. Oh.
Just the bare wheel hubs.
Well, I mean, okay.
That's one of the failings of having rubber tires on your toys.
Yeah. So, which one was it? My Rager was missing. He actually came with two right hands, I think. Yeah, it was two right hands. And I got it directly from iGear. And I emailed them, and they sent me a replacement arm for free. I mean, which is the way to go about it. But
right.
No issue whatsoever. Because it was coming from China, I had to do a little bit of waiting, but it wasn't that bad. wasn't that bad. So right now, if you're watching the video, you're seeing the weapon specialist. Again, I think they look very nice. I am very, very pleased with the way these came out. If the price wasn't just so ridiculous, I would have to have these. They are really, really good at this. iGear is probably... I think when it comes at least to the G1 Umanjas, iGear is definitely the one to, you know, the one that's really hitting it out of the park.
That's because iGear ripped all their engineering off from Hasbro Design Toys.
I can sort of tell that. When you look at the leg here, that I guess the legs definitely look like... is that from... That's like from Prowl, isn't it? Sorta.
Inferno.
The
transformation engineering on this is supposed to be based on Inferno's. Like the Impactor prototype they keep showing off is very clearly Warpath.
Yeah, the arms. Yeah. The arms are definitely Inferno. With the actually, I have the mold here. The grapple mold. Let me pull that up. The grapple mold. You can see how the arm has this flap here. The leg isn't the same, though. That, I think that is more reminiscent of... It might be the, it actually might be, No, I don't think it's the blur, mold. But that's really reminiscent. Yeah, you can tell. This really is, stolen may not be a good word, but definitely inspired by the way Hasbro is designing the stuff, which is the way to go. I mean, they are the experts.
Well, and, you know, even within Hasbro, you'll find a lot of toys that share engineering styles just because it works.
It works.
And as they say, there are no new ideas anymore.
Oh, no, it is sort of similar, I guess, to Blur a little bit. Here's, doesn't have the flap that hangs off the back, but it's similar-ish. But yeah, those came out. Again, I would totally buy those if they weren't just ridiculously expensive. I mean, they are.
Well, isn't that always the way with the third-party stuff?
Yeah. This right here, we got official photos of Phototron, which is the not-reflector toy that's coming out. It's really striking. It's a really nice looking toy. It's like anything else, it's expensive, but it looks like it's going to be great. Let me pull up these shots here. Unlike some of these other, I don't really know that it's reflector in the sense that it's three transforming cassettes. I mean, not cassettes, robots that transform into a camera. And they kind of look like reflector, but they're not just complete total ripoffs of reflector. At least not the animation mold or design. I don't think that. Actually, I never owned reflector. I've only seen like a couple in person. I don't think that the. I don't think that the actual toy is incredibly similar to that. Either of you have one to compare by? Actually, no. Of course you don't. Those are... No.
Never got Reflector.
Yeah. Was he available at retail, or was he only available with robot points?
He was a mail away.
So,
strictly mail away.
I wonder why that was.
I remember something in the production Bible that there was a note with Reflector that they weren't really supposed to use it. So I imagine at some point Hasbro decided they just did not want to deal with that toy. But it ended up in the cartoon anyway, so they made the thing available.
Yeah, so if right here, and I hate that I didn't just know this off the top of my head, but I didn't. The Reflector toys... Looking at the TF Wiki. Actually, no, it's the old Wiki. Ooh, a Wiki. Ooh. Yeah.
Bad Brian.
Definitely not incredibly similar to... In fact, those are kind of crummy looking.
Yeah?
Yeah, they kind of look like ass.
The originals?
Yeah, the originals.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's old. It's not even Diaclone. It's Microman.
Yeah, it's Microman. Yeah. So the Phototron is like a really nice homage in the sense that it's three Transformers that transform into a camera, but it's dissimilar enough to where I don't think they're in any danger of being sued.
It's kind of like the Impossible Toys, whatever they were. I don't remember. They did their own reflector, but that was in like Legend Size Robots.
Did they? I don't recall that.
Scouting Force, I think.
Scouting Force. You know, these look really nice. Phototron looks really, really nice. And it's actually kind of funny. Some of it has to have kibble, of course, because, well, it's three freaking robots that form a camera. That's not going to come out seamless. And it does a pretty good job of obscuring it to make, like, one of them, part of the camera becomes a shield. The other just sort of hangs off their ass, kind of like a car hood from Car Robots. But overall, they are nice looking, really nice looking. I'm actually surprised. Do we know what the retail is, or what the retail will be on this?
If it's been announced, I don't recall off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's going to be scary. John says
is about saying
120.
About 120.
I could justify that.
Maybe. I mean,
here, let me some individual robot shots. Dude, these looks really good.
What group is making this again?
It's not Impossible Toys, is it?
No, Impossible Toys made Scouting.
Is it
Force.
Make Toys? Let me get back here.
Doesn't it say in the article?
Yeah, I just gotta get back. TFC. TFC
okay,
Toys.
Okay, they're the ones that made Hercules.
Yeah. Well, no wonder.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of tells you all you need to know right there. But no, I mean, they did a really good job nailing the look of the camera.
Yes.
That in itself is really impressive, considering what they're doing, you know, putting three different toys together like that.
Yeah, I could justify that. I really have to say I could justify that. I may end up getting that. It does not look bad at all. Also, this past month, we got photos, like a final production shot of UFO from iGear, which is not Cosmos. It, in a way, okay, so it's kind of like a cross between, it's kind of like a cross between the classics Cosmos Legends toy that came out, crossed with the original Cosmos, crossed with, almost kind of looks like Skeletor in the face. It doesn't really strike me as Cosmos. It doesn't capture Cosmos at all. But I think it looks pretty good though.
Well, I mean, Cosmos has to be the hardest thing to design for.
Yeah.
Yeah. How can you really make a flying saucer robot at that size?
You know, the original Cosmos. I like the original Cosmos better than I like the classics, the Legends that came out. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Legends Cosmos that came out also really didn't capture Cosmos that well. It has a tail. It's just kind of this odd little duck. Mm-hmm. I don't really get...
Well, that's Cosmos.
Yeah, that's true. this one, it's nice looking. It looks like they've done a great job with the engineering. Doesn't quite capture it. I probably will pick it up, because I'm certain I'll get Hinch, and I kind of just want to get them all of these going forward. But it's definitely the one that I want second.
Depending how Hinch ends up turning out, I might get the Bushwhacker version when it comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody needs an Outback.
Yeah. Let's see here. iGear has done a Bumblebee, which looked like crap. I never picked that up. It wasn't Spray. It was, I think Spray was the Make Toys version. But it was a Sea Spray homage. It was okay. I skipped it. Then Rager came out, and Rager is really nice. I was actually really pleased with Rager. Hinch looks
Which
great.
Rager?
Gears. Hover. I'm sorry, not Gears. They need to do Gears. I would love actually a Gears would be great.
Gears is going to be Cogs.
Cogs?
If I remember right.
Yeah. I really like Huffer. We never really got a good Huffer. Not that we ever will get an official good Huffer. But that the thing I don't like about the original is that his arms are very fragile. Being that his arms are vacuumized metal, they are prone to breaking. This one, obviously not. But it's a nice little toy. It's a nice little toy. At the cost, it's I consider it very reasonable considering that it's a third party. So, you know, like you would expect at this point, a Legends toy to be $6 retail. So marking that up to about 20, considering the scale, isn't that bad. I really want to see how big Hinch is before I'll embrace the new price point that they're doing. And it saddens me a little bit that it's not going to go necessarily with the stuff that's come out before. But considering that I have no interest in iGear's Bumblebee mold, I don't really know why they did that. It's like not a good effort at all. But honestly, it looks like it's comparable to the Legends Bumblebee that we got. And
I think it is the Legends Bumblebee we got with Volkswagen parts.
Is it?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That sucks.
The same way that, you know, Impactor is Warpath with the new skin.
Yeah. How is Iger
still... That's just kind of what they do.
How is Iger still around?
Well, okay, they don't distribute their stuff through any other online stores, and they're in China.
That'll do it.
So is Big Bad Toy Store and TF Source, are they just getting their stuff? Like, are they just buying from iGear, like, at retail and then reselling?
Probably, because, you know, everything they have has quite a bit of a markup compared to the iGear store prices.
Maybe, like, there's a disparity between what Big Bad Toy Store is charging and what TF Source is charging. It's like a $5 difference. But I don't remember such a disparity, though, between, like, with Rager or the earlier stuff. God, there's so many of these third parties, it's hard to keep track of them all.
Well, and the thing, too, is I don't think, like, the real stores will tend to carry things like a Faith Leader.
Yeah.
That's obviously the knockoff product or the iGear Masterpiece Seekers. You know, this is a little bit more...
Did they do the Masterpiece Seekers? Was it iGear?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they did...
Yes, PPO... Faith Leader, well, PPO1.
They did the three cone heads. I don't remember if they did a Starscream, but I'm pretty sure they did a Thundercracker and
yeah.
a Sunstorm.
Man, I want to like iGear because I think they do good stuff. But then they do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with iGear, it's kind of a support the stuff that you're okay with. So, you know, you buy the things like the Cupheads or the little mini bot guys, you know. Stuff that is internally designed and not just bootlegs.
Yeah. I need to pull Rager down. I think I may take him to work. Now, you know, the thing is, they're doing all these G1 characters, and like characters that we've gotten recently. If they wanted to branch out and do characters like GoBot characters, I would love this. I would love to have like a new Psykill. Someone should do a Psykill homage.
Could be interesting.
Or even like a Leader 1.
Well, I remember somebody did a Leader 1 upgrade kit for Classic Starscream.
Yeah.
It wasn't very good.
Yeah, I don't know, Leader 1 is just like the most basic toy ever.
Well, and Classic Starscream is not that great of a toy to start with.
Yeah, Classic Starscream is a pretty basic toy, but it's not as basic as Leader 1. And I think the charm of Leader 1 is the way that he transforms. You pull his legs out, you pull the cone down, and you pull his arms out. that's as basic as you get with Transformers. It's not a Transformer. It's retroactively a Transformer.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hasbro bought Galoob.
Tonka.
Tonka, yeah.
Didn't Galoob own Tonka?
Huh? I thought Tonka owned Tonka at one point, but I have no idea.
I thought Galoob was their own thing, too.
Galoob was Micro Machines, so they did buy Galoob.
I think Galoob was also the Game Genie.
Yep.
Yeah.
How do I remember that?
It was developed by Codemasters.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
But yeah, they bought Galoob, but they also, it was Tonka.
You know, just totally off the subject, the thing that Codemasters didn't get past Nintendo's lawyers that I always wished they had was an NES to Game Boy adapter.
I didn't know that was in the works.
It was, but yeah, that one they could not get past legal, I suspect, because it was a pretty late development, and I wouldn't be surprised if Nintendo was already working on the Super Game Boy at that point. So.
Well, I was going to say, you know, that must be where they got that idea from. But
maybe.
Well, actually, now we're getting really off track here, but actually, Nintendo had an internal adapter known as the Wide Boy for a very long time.
Wide Boy?
dating back to the Famicom, so that they could play Game Boy games on TV screen in-house for playtesting and debugging and
well,
such.
The Game Boy was such a primitive system. I mean, it's based on 70s hardware. So there's no way that somebody didn't think, oh, I could just run this on the NES, which is a much more powerful system.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes perfect sense. It just never occurred to me that someone actually did that.
Or tried to.
I mean, it's not even like with the Master System and the Game Gear, which they're basically effectively the same hardware. Yeah. It's like the Game Boy is just primitive. It's amazing that the Game Boy ever succeeded. It's just so basic and simple.
It's amazing the Game Boy lasted in the market as long as it did, actually.
Yeah. Like, as of, I guess, in 2002 was when the SP came out, and it was the last system that came out that would actually play classic Game Boy games.
Yeah.
That's a legacy of 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you could actually get one of those up until maybe 94. That's pretty amazing.
Something like that. But to be honest, I think it's because it was primitive that it lasted so long. Because it was, you know, all the things that went up against the Game Boy in that first generation of portables, the Turbo Express, the Game Gear, the Lynx, all very expensive, not great battery life.
Oh.
So.
Okay, so you know. I have to say, look what I have on my desk. It's my Game Gear. The Game Gear, I can pull my Game Boy out and still play it. I've got to get a capacitor kit for my Game Gear. I'm going to have to cut it. I'm going to have to open it up and desolder some of the chips, resolder a couple of new chips and capacitors so that it works.
Mm.
It's crap. But thankfully, that's like $10. And
$10 and a lot of labor.
Yeah, but it's a pretty simple soldering job, so I don't have to worry about it. And if I broke it, which is not likely, because I'm pretty confident.
Who cares? It's a Game Gear.
Yeah, exactly. It's a Game Gear. I can buy a new game, not a new. I can buy a Game Gear on eBay that's already been fixed for like $25.
There you go.
Brother could probably fix it for you.
I don't know. He has one that he's had some trouble with. Never did get it working right. It like half the screen is not displaying.
Yeah, I'm quite competent with the soldering iron and fixing stuff like that. So I'm not gonna have an issue with it. I'm way better at that than I am transforming G1 transformers.
But what my brother has done for me lately is okay. We found some of the later model Game Boy Advance with the backlight. And he transferred the internal bits of that to my NES-themed Game Boy Advance SP, which was the original model.
Very nice.
So it now has the super bright backlight. I am very happy with that.
That's fantastic. Yeah, the backlight on that is okay.
Yeah, if you can find the 101 model, though, it is, well, hey, since I'm doing this.
Why not?
We only have one more item left anyway. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that.
Yeah, check the, if you ever see a Game Boy Advance SP for cheap anywhere, check the back of it. If it says AGS-101, it will be the one with the good backlight.
Mine is the mine's the AGS-001.
Yeah, that's the original model.
Yeah.
Mine was over here somewhere.
Yeah, I got it the day it came out.
Yeah, I did too. I held out for this specific model.
The game in my Game Boy Advance right now is Dragon Warrior 3 for Game Boy Color.
The one in mine is Dragon Warrior 1 and 2.
I just finished Dragon Warrior 2 like a couple months ago.
I have still never finished that. I have got to get back to it.
Yeah, I finished Dragon Warrior 1 like dozens of times, literally. Mm-hmm. I've only played through Dragon Warrior 2 once. So, okay, one more item left. And I'm not going to go through, I don't have a comprehensive list of all of the photos that we've got from Project Uranus. And this, I guess the news was broken last month, but we've got new pictures of some of the toys. So this one right here is F4, what's it, actually, it's F4 Phantom. And this one is what?
I have
what,
no idea which aerial bot that corresponds to.
Not slingshot. It is. Let me get my G2 over here. I'm not good with the good bots. I mean, not with the aerial bots. This one is Fireflight? Yeah, Fireflight. I'm pretty sure that's who that's supposed to be.
Well, if I had video from you, I could tell you because Fireflight's the one G2 aerial bot I actually had.
Yeah, I think it is.
Doesn't Fireflight have sticker on his wing that says Fireflight?
Yeah, no, it does. No, they all do. It's Skydive. Sorry.
Ah.
I'm getting lost with the color, not the model. The color, they're all basically the same in G1, G2, they're different. So Skydive is actually blue in G2. So this is probably Skydive. Nice looking, really nice looking, actually. We're looking at what 50 bucks you said last week?
Oh, that was for the Stunticons.
Stunticons, oh. Any idea on these?
Probably more than that. I'm pretty sure those are bigger toys.
Oh, these are TFC. Oh, yeah. Oh god, this will probably be $600.
I don't think they're going to be Constructicon size, but they're going to be bigger than the Fans Project Stunticons.
So, we're getting a Fans Project Stunticons, the TFC aerial bots. We got
two sets of Constructicons already.
Two sets of Constructicons. We got upgrades.
And Acrobaticons, so that takes care of that.
And John's saying $80 each for the aerial bots.
Are we getting a Superion that's the same size, or $80 each? Too rich for my blood.
And there are also six of them.
Well, okay. There's six of them, but the sixth one comes packaged with the fifth one, and it will form the chess piece for Superion.
Ah.
So that's going to be like a double-sized package that costs twice as much.
Nice. Yeah. I don't want this. Of course, the funny thing is, this $80 is about what a used G2 slingshot goes for. So, if you saw my G2 Superion, you notice that he is short one limb. I have yet to find a G2 slingshot that I consider a reasonable price.
Just call him Stumpy.
Could just call it Stumpy.
The thing is, though, the aerial bots are like the least compelling combiner group.
They are.
Nobody cares about the aerial bots.
Well, the original toy was junk. Honestly, I know. I mean, I have both arms off, but the hip joints are just floppy. Even the Titus Superion has floppy hip joints. It's boring looking, and the characters had basically minimal characterization.
Except for that one week when they hated humans and wanted to make friends with the
Which,
Decepticons.
Of course, you know, is awesome.
Yes, right. That one week when they were idiots.
The one week. That one time they traveled back in time.
Mm-hmm.
But they are the least compelling. absolutely for sure. And it's kind of funny that the Stunicons are more fondly remembered.
The Stunicons sort of had a personality.
Sort of. I think the Stunicons are probably more fondly remembered because the Autobots pretended to be them.
Probably.
And so they got more screen time. But the toys, I mean, the Stunicons, the robot modes, the vehicles, kind of suck. You know, they're not great. They're not great toys.
I mean, you know, Scramble City toys.
I think the Protectobots are better, marginally better.
Maybe
not great, but marginally better. I think Hotspot's a pretty fantastic centerpiece.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't really judge them by the torso figure.
Yeah, actually, I think you can. I think you can judge most of.
Okay. Okay. By that measure, then I mean Silverbolt is a piece of crap too.
Yeah,
but. You know, you have to look at it as the whole group, which is the limbs always suck.
The limbs always do suck unless they're Blot.
Yes, but Blot is supposed to suck.
Blot is awesome.
That's his function.
Yes. Yeah, so that's that. Lots of stuff. Actually, we went way longer on that than I intended to. I apologize.
Well, I think that's really due to the Nintendo... Diverge.
I'm going to have to look for the AGS 101 now.
It's worth it. It really is.
I have to check that out. But yeah, so that's RSC for this week. I guess we'll be back next week. I don't see a reason why we won't be. Unless the RSC hosts are all dead.
And if you'd like to hear a video game show where we ramble off into talking about Transformers, the next episode of New Soundwave should be up this weekend.
Yes, by the time you hear this, New Soundwave should be online.
If you want to hear a tokusatsu show where we run off about Pokemon and Star Trek and Transformers, then there's, you know, Superhero Time, which is every Tuesday.
Absolutely. Superhero Time is a fun listen, even if you don't know what in the hell's going on.
Well, and since JD's joined us, most of us don't know what the hell's going on anymore either.
Yeah. I miss JD. Okay, so that's...
Yes, but I think everybody's better off for him being on my show.
Yeah. Actually, I kind of like this. This a little more intimate RSC. It's not... So there was a stretch when it was so hard to get a word in because we had so many people on.
But I know. I shouldn't have complained about that.
I know.
If only I knew.
But I like this. I like having Rob on when Rob can, like, you know... Talk without having someone trying to run over him.
Well, I keep telling him to just, you know, get louder and talk over people, but he won't do that. He's too nice.
There was a stretch when Rob was thinking about leaving. I hope he's not thinking about leaving now. I'm glad Rob's on.
No.
We love having Rob. I told XV that we love having Rob.
And I told Rob that you told XV that we love having Rob.
Oh, you did? That's good. I just never told Rob. Because that would be creepy.
I know, you're shy.
Yeah. Have XV passing notes. Okay. So that's the podcast. Check us out at tfradio.net. Lots of other shows, which we've covered most of them. We also have Screen View,
which is recording right now,
which is why Amy and Peter probably aren't on, which is our TV show movie review show, which is the show that I originally wanted to host, but realized that I wasn't competent to do so. So Peter's hosting. And Fanboy
Versus. If only to get you to realize you're not competent to do other things.
I know. And then there's Fanboy Versus, which was a show that I was originally on as well, but it ended up leaving because I couldn't keep up with the comics.
I remember how you were originally on New Soundwave, too.
I'm on New Soundwave now, except I missed it this past weekend because of family issues, so.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, this week is just me and John talking about Fall of Cybertron.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that, but I am certain it's fantastic. And considering I don't have Fall of Cybertron yet, I could not have added a thing.
It turned out really well. It was a good show. I think everybody's going
to
like it.
I can't wait to listen to that. Actually, watch it. I really like watching New Soundwave. So, is that it? We have a couple other miscellaneous shows which are updated, like, once in a while. Gabe has a heavy metal show that he does with his brother that comes out.
Does?
Yeah, comes out super infrequently. And we haven't had his other show come out in a while. I'm assuming it's dead. The other show that we had, the Bitmapped show, hasn't come out in like 8 months. It's dead. And I swear to God, I'm going to bring back Get the Skinny. effectively it's dead. But lots of good stuff on the show, on the website.
Well, now JD's doing something to kind of that effect on his own.
JD is doing a weight loss vlog, a video log, on YouTube. JD actually has his own Facebook page, which I believe, let me pull it up, I think it's facebook.com/TheJDChurch. Believe that's it. Yes, so facebook.com/TheJDChurch. JD posts his video blog, plus updates from around his world, podcasts that he's on, comic news, skeptic news, general stuff like that. JD is an interesting bird. He's someone you should keep up with. So facebook.com/JD Church, the JD Church. You can actually subscribe to my Facebook feed as well. I'm less active on Twitter. I try to post something at least daily to Facebook. So it's facebook.com/BrianKilby, BrianKilby. I try to at least entertain my friends and family and subscribers there. So, Flailthroughs on Twitter, at Flailthroughs.
That's us.
And at, is it Comic Reviewers? Figure Reviewers, sorry. We have so many different diverse interests that it's easy to lose track. Figure Reviewers. And reviews are now showing up at tformers.com. This past week, XV had posted his review of Stepper. You pay too much for that.
On the other hand, it was like one of the last two at BotCon.
Which is true. So,
if I would have gotten to it, the first day like John did, I would have got to think the deal John did. But
did you ever? Have you posted a review of Tank Megatron?
Just today, actually.
Excellent. Is that a T-Formers yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I will link to that in the show notes because I never got around to doing my review.
And of course, if you haven't made up your mind on Fall of Cybertron yet, I've got reviews for the campaign and multiplayer modes on T-Formers as well.
Yes. We linked to that last week. Go to tfradio.net/podcast. And look at the August 23rd episode. We have links there. Actually, go back and check out our archive. I am slowly but surely adding all of our shows, our past episodes, going all the way back to 1999 in the archive.
Which is not as many as it sounds.
Yeah, I think we're at episode 260 at this point. So,
which, you know, for a 13-year stretch, that's not a lot.
Yeah, so that's, 20 episodes on average a year, which realistically is, 52 one year, 41, then, 13, and then basically solidly 52 per year for, 3 years. So, yeah. But going back 13 years, we have episodes, interviews, and segments. Lots of fun stuff there. So, tfradio.net, click on the archives link. And we have all of our archives for all of our shows, including Fanboy Versus, New Sound Wave, Superhero Time, and the defunct shows that I referred to earlier. You know, you don't have to listen to these defunct shows.
Did Rob Springer get an RFT or RTM up this week?
Yeah, he posted a new episode of that at YouTube. Thank you, XV. YouTube.com/ TF Radio Network.
It only occurred to me because I was thinking of Throwback, and you said this kind of took the place of Throwback now.
Yeah, this week Rob talks about, I think he talks about Creos, or Creons, actually. So episode 11.
Creons are the only Creo thing anybody cares about.
Yeah. I don't know. I really, really, really want to get the Vortex kit. It looks phenomenal.
Don't look for it at Walmart.
I found it at Toys R Us.
Oh. Well, Walmart has apparently eliminated Creo from their modulars.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Well, it's not like they sell there.
Or anywhere.
They're doing clearance. I think.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting thing. I went to Kmart just recently and saw Battleship Creo for the first time ever.
On clearance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I actually, not at my local Walmart because they didn't stock them, But I was able to get a hold of the blind packed Creons a couple weeks ago. A couple of them are okay. Most of them are very passable.
Yeah. Are the Creon combiners out yet?
No.
No. Those are going to be released in sets. So it's a different assortment.
And only like $12 yeah. each, too. So not that bad.
Yeah, they're a good deal. Yeah. It's like getting the Botshot 3 packs. It's a little bit cheaper than buying the singles.
Yeah. I like the first Creons that came out, like Optimus Prime. He's better than any of the ones that came out.
Well, okay, and the reason for that is, you know, the special parts that make him Optimus Prime are Optimus Prime parts, whereas Windbag ones are reusing old parts for new stuff.
Well, for example, Starscream, which is exactly the same as Sunstorm, is better than Sunstorm.
Okay, now you're just making shit up.
Yeah, I'm not too crazy about them. Of course, I haven't tried to transform them. I don't think that I ever will. Not that impressed. But the stuff that's coming out, the combiners do look great. Looking forward to that.
I wonder if the Star Trek Creo stuff is still coming.
I hope so.
You know, I don't really care at this point.
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking, too. It's been a long time since we found out about it, and we never heard about it again. And
we got Star Trek Minimates, too, didn't we, at one point?
They're pretty early, I think, but yeah, there are some.
Yeah, so, like, if I want a Kirk, and, like, I guess it's a Mirror Kirk, maybe, that came out, I can just get that. Mm-hmm. What I really want is all the Lord of the Rings Legos, which I will never have.
I have to admit, in terms of the actual Creo sets, the Enterprise is probably about the only one I'd actually be interested in.
Which Enterprise is it?
It might even be the movie Enterprise, but, I mean, if it comes with enough basically Enterprise-shaped blocks, it can be any damn Enterprise I want.
That's a good
Enterprise-shaped
point.
Enterprise-shaped blocks.
Love that.
You know, Megablocks is making their Halo minifigures better and better all the time. I really want to get some of those.
I don't know if you heard, XV, but Bestlock, the super cheap Lego knockoff, they just made Stargate SG-1 sets in Canada only.
Weird.
That's weird.
Well, not weird that they're in Canada only, but weird that they actually made Stargate sets.
Yeah, it's weird that they're licensing anything at all. They also got Terminator, of all things.
Weird. Okay, so if you want to know more about Creo, visit Creo.com.
Or something. I don't know.
We'll be back next week.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.